You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. Today, Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, returns to the broadcast to further discuss the most recent edition of the journal. This issue is a special edition including articles on how to share your faith, ethics, and a five-part article reassessing the movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee known as the local church. These are just a few of the fascinating subjects you'll find in the Christian Research Journal. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Every time we have a new edition of the Christian Research Journal hot off the press, we do some special Bible Answer Man broadcasts and ask you to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine, beautiful in both content and presentation. And it is available right now when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also order through our e-store at equip.org or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And for the first time ever, this unique issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the local churches available anywhere in the world immediately for downloading in a digital format, or you can order a printed copy, as I mentioned, which can be delivered in the United States and Canada through our e-store at equip.org. So order online, through the mail, or through the phones at 888-7000-CRI. Joining me in studio to talk about the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, Elliot Miller. And if you were not here for yesterday's broadcast, you may want to get a copy of that as well. Elliot, we were talking about the fact that there are many Christian leaders who consider the local churches a cult or at best a heretical movement. We, at one point in the history of this ministry in the 70s, were a fountainhead of misinformation on this movement, originally founded by Watchman Nee, who died in a communist prison camp, and his protege, Witness Lee, who spread this movement throughout the world, particularly moving it in a very significant way to Southern California and then throughout the United States. We, at one point in the history of the ministry, thought that this was an aberrant group. We wrote about this movement, and now we say we were wrong. My question to you, in summary from yesterday's show, is what went wrong?
Yes, Hank. Well, you know, we have certainly asked ourselves that question, and looking back on it, I think it's not, you know, too difficult to at least give some explanation as to how we could have gotten that so wrong. And it really has to do, I believe, with, to a great extent, with the cultural difference. We were used to dealing with Western cults, or if they were Eastern cults, they weren't claiming to be evangelical Christians. But here you have an Orthodox movement of people who we ourselves recognized even at the time were born-again Christians. That's why we never actually called them a cult at CRI, even though we thought that they were cultic, meaning that they had cult-like traits, yet we recognized we were dealing with true believers. And that should have been a tip-off to us right there that we needed to dig further. But it had to do with the cultural divide, with the language differences, and with their particular teaching style, which almost has a flair. Witness Lee, their leader at the time, who died in 1997, almost had a flair for saying things that would just rile us up in the countercult community, for expressing what were ultimately Orthodox beliefs in a way that sounded like they were just directly contradicting Orthodoxy. And so we heard those words, and we'd already had a criteria that we evaluated groups by. If they teach X, Y, and Z, then they are cultic. Well, they seemed to be teaching, as far as we could tell, X, Y, and Z. That was good enough for us. We put a stamp on them, cultic. Now let's move on to the next group. Well, the problem is, as we have since learned, and you know, you got to realize that I still look back and believe we were among the more responsible people doing countercult research even at the time. And we didn't get many groups wrong like that. But we hopefully have grown and matured in our work after 3 to 4 decades and, you know, have learned how to do it right, which we're hoping to impart to young people who aspire to the same kind of ministry. We hope that they're listening carefully to this broadcast and that they will carefully read the Christian Research Journal and learn from our mistakes. Because what we didn't do in that case, and what we should always do, is number one, you want to interact with the people and understand them in their own terms. Instead of just looking into them enough to confirm your own prejudice, if they're adamantly telling you, no, we don't believe that, you're getting it wrong, well, find out what they do believe. Talk about it in different ways. Help them to explain to you what they believe. But instead, we just kept dropping the C word on them. You know, we didn't, but others in the countercult community would call them a cult. We called them cultic and aberrant. And, you know, that got them to react offensively. And you know, it was a deteriorating situation. So instead of having the dialogue that would have helped us transcend the cultural and language barrier, instead we had a call to arms. And there was a real contention going on between us and them. It was very heated for several years. And in fact, they called this very program. I remember one day they overwhelmed the phone lines, and Walter Martin, the host at that time, could not conduct a normal show because he was dealing with one irate local church member after another, denouncing him for his own heresy and, you know, proclaiming that their teachings were orthodox. So it was not a good situation, and there was blame to be shared on both sides, but we certainly were responsible for calling a group that we now are fully convinced was orthodox to be heretical.
Again, we're talking about a movement that was originally founded by a Watchman Nee, and then his protege, Witness Lee, helped spread this movement around the globe, literally. And in China today, they are reproducing disciple makers on a scale that is fairly unprecedented. When you look at this movement, many people will say, look, they called themselves the local churches. And therefore, if you go into a particular locale, if you go to Charlotte, North Carolina, or Los Angeles, California, they say there's only one church. They believe in localism. And therefore, it seems to us that they're calling themselves the only church. Is that really what they're saying?
No, it's not. And I have to say that unlike most countercult researchers, on this particular point, I understood them way back in the 70s because I had read Watchman Nee's book, The Normal Christian Church Life, and I understood what the teaching was all about. It's just that I misunderstood how the local churches were applying Watchman Nee, and I thought they were taking him in ways that they actually, I now know that they were not. In other words, I was believing a lot of secondhand information about their behavior and their claims that I was getting from other researchers instead of going to the source itself and confirming these things. But really, you know, what you have to understand here is that the underlying concern behind their teaching on localism, which is the belief that there's one church in one city, is a desire to see unity in the body of Christ and a desire to accept all believers as Christians. It's not a desire to create a point of division where they're the true church and you're not in it, or to renounce you as a genuine believer. But they're simply thinking deeply about the matter, and they're asking, what is the basis for unity? And Watchman Nee in his writings, and Witness Lee in his, came to the conclusion that the only proper basis for division among Christians is distance. In other words, in the city of Nanjing, they cannot, for practical reasons, worship with Christians in the city of Shanghai. So there have to be two different churches there because they're divided by space, you see. But any other division other than denying essentials, which they would certainly agree would be a reason for division. You don't meet with people that deny Jesus Christ, that deny the gospel. But if we affirm essentials, and if we're in the same locality, why are we not in fellowship? Why are we not together? And so they said, therefore, there's only one church in one city. When God looks down on a city such as Charlotte, does he go, oh, there's my people, the United Presbyterians, and then there's the Presbyterian Church of America, and then there's the Southern Baptists, and there's, you know, the American Baptists, and there's the Assemblies of God. I've got so many churches in the city. No, God doesn't see our divisions, our distinctions that we have created for theological or, you know, aesthetic or whatever our reasons are for creating, you know, personality reasons. In fact, Scripture defines such things as carnal. You say you are of Paul, you say you are of Apollos, are you not carnal, acting like mere men? You know, it was Paul's rebuke to the Corinthians who divided over personalities. And so what they're saying is, God looks down, sees one people, and in a city, there's one church. That has been misinterpreted to mean that they are claiming to be the true church. Actually, they believe all the believers in a city are members of that church, but they believe that we should meet on that basis of locality. And that's where the controversy enters. And a lot of people would say, no, there are good reasons for Presbyterians to meet because they have certain beliefs about covenant and God's sovereignty that unite them, and that they can agree and serve God and accomplish things for. So there's different perspectives about these issues, and certainly I'm not saying that the local church group has all the answers or that the denominations are wrong. It's a very complicated issue. But the fact is that they have a right to that opinion. It's not a cultic belief. It's a particular take on the basis for the local church, which we all have to come up with one position or another. They come up with a pretty biblically solid one. They can make a pretty solid biblical case for it. It's not heresy. It's not saying that you're not a Christian or you're not in the Church of Jesus Christ. They fully accept you. You go into their meetings, they will serve communion to you if you confess Jesus as your Savior. They're not denying your salvation. They're not denying your Christian standing, nor are they denying that the Holy Spirit is working in your life and using you. So there's been a lot of misunderstanding about their beliefs on this subject.
Something related to that, Elliot, that you and I have experienced in the research work that we did throughout the world is the very fact that the local churches involve their membership in worship, in oneness, and in witness. In worship through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word. So you don't have a clergy-laity distinction in the same sense that many other denominations do. When someone comes to church, they have prepared themselves by feeding on the Word of God, immersing themselves in biblical passages, so that when they go to church, they can prophesy. Not prophesy in the sense of foretelling the future, but in the 1 Corinthians 14 sense of edification and strengthening other believers. So they immerse themselves in the Word so that the Holy Spirit can speak through them in the edification of other believers.
And boy, you just hit something on the head. I mean, I remember back in the 70s and in the 80s, when people in my movement, the counter-cult movement, were researching the local church, we often would describe one of their practices called prayer reading as a way of altering the consciousness to put you in a trance-like state so that the cult leaders could manipulate you and hypnotize you and abuse you and take advantage of you. And it was demonic, that you were opening up to the demonic realm. I mean, if I heard that once, I heard it 1,000 times. Well, after actually being in these meetings and experiencing prayer reading, I was blown away by it, because it is not an altered, I consider myself something of an expert on altered states of consciousness. I've been researching them for decades. I've written extensively on the subject. I'm writing a book on it right now. And this is nothing like pagan meditation or mysticism. This is immersing yourself in the Word of God in a way I've never seen people do before. You know, it's a unique approach to it. They develop their own devotional practice, and it is full of content. And the Sunday morning services, they open it up to, they've all studied, they've all prayed, they've all been in the Word, they have a particular topic they're going to deal with on Sunday morning, and they each have a few minutes, you know, whoever is led of the Spirit, exactly like Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 14, they will get up, they will preach, they will proclaim, prophesy in the sense of exhorting by the Spirit of God. you know, believers on that subject. And it seems orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, because each new person adds something meaningful to what the person before said. And you really get into that passage of Scripture in a way that just not that expositional teaching isn't extremely valuable and shouldn't continue full force, but just that in addition to that, this particular method of approaching the Word of God is by no means Eastern meditation. It is biblical meditation, which means to chew on the cud. It means to really turn something over and go at it from every direction and get every little bit of nutrition out of that piece of food.
Dr. Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal. We're passionate about this particular issue of the Christian Research Journal. It's available for the first time ever on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can download in a digital format the Christian Research Journal, or you can order a printed copy in the United States and Canada through our e-store at equip.org. We're going to be talking about lawsuits among believers. A lot of people have looked at the local church movement and said they're like Scientology. They want to shut you up, and the way they do that is through lawsuits. Elliot tackles that issue head on. You don't want to miss it. Be right back.
If you'd like to know more about the local church and other topics discussed in today's broadcast, we invite you to start or renew your own subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Right now is the perfect time to order, because we've just released a special edition including a 5-part article reassessing the local church. You can order online securely at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank. Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to 4 beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal to strengthen and enhance your relationship with God. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, order online at www.equip.org, or you can call us at 888-7000-CRI. And now, back to Hank Hanegraaff and his guest.
And my guest is none other than Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal. And we're talking about the current special edition of the Christian Research Journal. I want to continue my discussion with Elliot in just a moment. But first, let's go to the phone lines, talk to Ken. He's listening on XM 170 in Green River, Wyoming. Hi, Ken.
Hi, guys. I just want to commend you both on your very spirit of humility today. And it just is very refreshing. It's just wonderful to hear some of your retractions, but I was hoping I could preface my question with saying that as an early Christian, I kind of cut my teeth on the writings of Watchman Nee rather than Witness Lee, and I'm not too familiar with Witness Lee's writings, but anyway, before I knew what I believed doctrinally, I did notice in my teen years that Watchman Nee seemed to be a very deep writer, and I know a lot of people refer to him as a Christian mystic, and it's so easy to misunderstand what people say, and I to this day, I still don't fully know what Watchman Nee said on certain things that were very confusing to me, especially his doctrine of the union with Christ and some of the things he would say that were very puzzling, but my question, Hank, today is that I can just hear a lot of people in other groups, such as the Word of Faith movement and so forth, say that, you know, we knew it all along, you know, just like they misrepresented, you know, the local church, they also misrepresented us, and I've heard a lot of people say that that the only Word of Faith teacher that you would agree to meet with was Benny Hinn. And my question is, are you using a different methodology now than what you used back then when you were researching the Word of Faith movement? And do you think that there's room to be open for further discussion with those teachers?
Well, I think certainly room to be open for further discussion. I think we need to continue keeping the lines of dialogue open. And certainly the statement that Benny Hinn was the only Word of Faith teacher that I would meet with is decidedly false. I met with many other significant Word of Faith teachers. And to say that I am now using a different method is simply not the case. This is the method that I've used all along. In fact, we mentioned this yesterday on yesterday's show, and it is certainly addressed in this particular issue of the Christian Research Journal. I actually called for our ministry to meet with the local churches. In other words, they wanted to meet with us. I wanted to meet with them. We initiated these meetings, and there were people even within the ministry that thought I had gone off my rocker being willing to meet with the local churches, because it was sort of an open and shut case at that particular time in the history of the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But I want to say this as well before I let Elliot chime in on this. The Word of Faith movement is something that I wrote about in my first major work, Christianity in Crisis, which was released in 1993. I have a new version of this book. It's called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. So I'm not duplicitous. The more I looked at the Word of Faith movement, the more I met with leaders within the Word of Faith movement, the worse it got. Conversely, the more you look at the local church movement, the better it gets. You have to be willing to follow a sustained, systematic, substantial argument if you're going to look into the writings of, as you mentioned actually in the prologue to your question, of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. You have to be willing to do that. I have been willing to do that and have quoted the Word of Faith movement within their own context. In other words, they define doctrines that come right out of the kingdom of the cults. And on the other side of the course, they look at historic Christianity and they mock the tenets of historic Christianity. That's not just my opinion. You can get Christianity in Crisis, the tape series, and you can hear them doing that in their own words themselves. In addition to that, if you look at Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, you'll see that it is amply documented in context, so there's no possibility that I've misunderstood what they're saying with respect to the nature of God, the nature of man, the nature of atonement, sickness and suffering within the body of Christ, and wealth and want. I clearly communicate that, articulate that in the book Christianity in Crisis. So again, the bottom line here, Ken, is the more you look at the Word of Faith movement, the worse it gets. The more you look at the local church movement, the better it gets, to the point that I can say with sincerity and conviction that there's a lot we can learn from that movement.
I don't think that it's so much me that I'm personally questioning this, but I can just hear, I have family members, many of them who are Word of Faith, and it seems that all I ever hear from them is that CRI misrepresents what Copeland says or so-and-so says, you know, and after they hear about this, I can just hear them saying that now, and so that's why I ask the questions, so as to prepare myself for when I dialogue with them on this further.
Yeah. Can I say something about that too, Ken? Yeah. You know, I go back 34 years almost, you know, with this ministry. So I've seen the whole history of the interaction. And even before I came to CRI, Walter Martin had met with the Seventh-day Adventists along with Donald Gray Barnhouse, and it resulted in a breakthrough of understanding of their theology. And it was a very controversial thing at the time. And over the years, I saw Walter Martin, and then I saw Hank Hanegraaff carrying on in the very same tradition, and very different from a lot of other countercult ministries that I'm aware of, a real desire to win the person for Christ, or to win the brother, or simply to be able to clarify if someone actually is orthodox and defend them. And when I was around when the Word of Faith movement really took off in the 1970s. I was here at CRI, and we did try to meet with Ken Copeland, and he refused to meet with us. And we did correspond with Kenneth Hagin. He was more communicative. But for the most, and Hank met with Paul Crouch, and he met with Benny Hinn. But the situation that we ran into with them, as Hank said, is there was not evinced through the dialogues a sustaining commitment to orthodoxy or to even following up on the promising things that might have been said in the dialogues. So the dialogues ran their course and did not result in winning a brother as we would have hoped. In the meantime, we're committed to contending for the faith and standing for orthodoxy, so we had to continue to publish critical materials on these groups. But with regard to the local church, this was almost the ultimate test of whether we would be true to our historic principle of dialogue, because there was probably no group we had worse blood with and less reason to want to dialogue with. We had a basic animosity toward them and a very sharp history of contention, and really nothing to gain from it. It was a test almost of our willingness to dialogue. And I participated in that to be true to that principle, but really expected nothing to come of it, and was surprised to find out that indeed these were not only brothers in Christ, but that in the meeting when they were professing that they believed in Orthodox doctrine, Gretchen and I were still skeptical. Hank was probably quicker to believe because he didn't have the same history with them that Gretchen and I had. So Gretchen and I went to Anaheim, and spent three full days in dialogue with representatives of the movement, going over their materials, reading materials they gave us, asking for clarification on this point and that point, until we finally worked it all out and saw that indeed the reason they haven't recanted these doctrines is they never taught what we thought they were teaching. We're the ones that need to recant this time. Okay, we're Christians. Let's, you know, rise to the challenge and confess that we were wrong. And it just hasn't been that way with the Word of Faith people. It's been a different experience, and you expect different experiences because people are different, and there's all kinds of people out there.
And well, again, go ahead, Ken.
I just want to say I just thank you so much for your clarification on that, and I just think it's a wonderful day in the body of Christ today that you know, that we can even see that you guys are the leaders of the pack in the apologetics community, and I know that in my own life I've been immensely blessed by the writings of Watchman Nee, and I know didn't he die in a prison in China,
1972,
giving his life to the
gospel? Yes.
And it's just wonderful, the fruit that it's borne in my own life. And when I heard the criticism of Witness Lee, I know it brought genuine concern in my life, but I wasn't so familiar with him, but I just thank you, gentlemen, for your humility and that you're willing to truly stand for truth, and because it really does matter and it's everything, and I just want to thank you both for that very much.
Well, Ken, I didn't expect such an encouraging call, but thank you so much. You've touched and warmed my heart. And Elliot, I mean, that's what it's all about. He says, stand for truth. That's what it's all about. But that reminds me that we are going to stand before God and give an account for what we did in life and ministry. And we are far more concerned with what God has to say than what men and women on earth have to say.
Because
We had, as you said, absolutely nothing to gain in this. We did lose tremendously as a result of standing for truth, no matter what the cost. That's undeniable, but truth does matter, and we say and want to live up to the moniker because truth matters.
That's exactly right, Hank. Amen and amen.
And this edition of the Christian Research Journal, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, you can order for the first time ever this unique issue featuring the local church. It's available anywhere in the world immediately for downloading in a digital format, or you can order a printed copy for delivery in the United States and Canada through our e-store at equip.org. You can also order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Again, this is a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast dealing with a special edition of the Christian Research Journal. But there's so much to love in the Christian Research Journal. It's a magazine that is a must read in today's religious climate. It deals with probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking. And if ever there was a time in which we needed that, it is today. We live in an era in which internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. Truth is so obscure in these times, as Blaise Pascal put it, and falsehood so established that unless you love the truth, you cannot know it. We need, as Christians, to learn critical thinking and discernment skills. This edition in particular of the Christian Research Journal will help you do just that. It is riveting, and on the other side of the break, we're going to be talking about one of the most riveting aspects of this particular issue, and that is lawsuits amongst Christians. Is that what took place? Is it permissible? How are we to think about these things? We're going to be dealing with that on the other side of the break. Again, you can order your edition of the Christian Research Journal for the first time ever, available anywhere in the world immediately. You can download it in a digital format, or again, you can order on the World Wide Web at our e-store at equip.org. Right back with Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller in just a moment.
To find out more about one of the articles or to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Stay tuned. Hank and his guests will return right after this.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine covering relevant and current issues on Christianity, faith, ethics, religious movements, philosophy, and so much more. In the latest issue, we discuss abortion and healthcare reform, review several new books, walk you through a spiritual boot camp, and re-evaluate our view of the movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, known as the local church. You can subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And we're talking today about a movement founded by Watchman Nee and his protege, Witness Lee, in an open letter addressing concerns that many evangelical scholars and Christians have with this movement. They not only consider it a heretical movement, but they're very concerned about the lawsuits in which this movement has engaged. In fact, in the open letter, evangelical Christian leaders write this:
If the leadership of Living Stream Ministry and the local churches regard evangelical Christians as fellow believers, we request that they publicly renounce the use of lawsuits and the threat of lawsuits against evangelical Christians to answer criticisms or resolve conflicts. The New Testament strongly discourages the use of lawsuits to settle disputes among Christians. If the leadership of Living Stream Ministry and the local churches do not regard evangelical Christian churches, organizations, and ministries as legitimate Christian entities, we ask that they publicly resign their membership in all associations of evangelical churches and ministries. In either case, we respectfully request that the leadership of Living Stream Ministry and the local churches discontinue their practice of using litigation and threaten litigation to answer criticisms or settle disputes with Christian organizations and individuals. Well, Elliot Miller points out that in 1985, Gordon Melton, founder of the Institute for the Study of American Religions, published an open letter himself concerning the local churches, Witness Lee, and the Godmen controversy, a controversy over a book titled The Godmen. And he writes, "During the past year, I, like many of you, have become concerned about the lawsuit between the local church led by Witness Lee and Spiritual Counterfeits Project and the publisher of their book, The Godmen. I was at first concerned that a Christian body, like the local church, would take fellow Christians to court until I discovered that the leaders in the church had exhausted all less severe means to have the book withdrawn and its errors acknowledged. Recently, I was asked by the local church to begin a more rigorous investigation of its life and belief than I had been able to do in previous years while I was working on my Encyclopedia of American Religions. Part of my study of the local church involved the reading of most of the published writings of Witness Lee and lengthy depositions of Neil Duddy and Brooks Alexander, a Spiritual Counterfeits Project. The experience proved among the more painful of my Christian life. As I began to check the quotes of Witness Lee used in Duddy's book, I found that the Godmen had consistently taken sentences from Lee's writings and, by placing them in a foreign context, made them to say just the opposite of what Lee intended. This was done while ignoring the plain teachings and affirmations concerning the great truths of the Christian faith found throughout Lee's writings. I also took note of the ludicrous attempt to equate the local church's practice of pray reading with the use of mantras in Eastern religions. They bear no resemblance whatsoever. As I read the depositions, especially that of Duddy, I was appalled to discover the number of substantive and libelous charges made against Lee and the Godmen, which were based entirely upon the unconfirmed account of a single hostile ex-member. The mistakes and misrepresentations in the book are so frequent and so consistent that it strains credulity to suggest that the Godmen is merely the product of poor scholarship." So here you have one researcher writing an open letter saying, "At first I was very concerned about the lawsuit, but afterwards I was more concerned about the libelous charges made against the local church movement and Witness Lee."
That's right. And you know, at the time I dismissed that because J. Gordon Melton has a reputation among people in my field as being a quote-unquote cult apologist. In other words, he's come to the defense of the Unification Church or different groups, you know, in different situations. And so, you know, we have just easily been able to dismiss anything he'd say. However, he went on in this book and he actually gave his own documented analysis of where they had taken Lee out of context in four different instances to prove his, you know, charge that they had deliberately taken him out of context. And the proof was there in 1985. And when I read that, I just, at the time, it was like, I responded to that the way I'm afraid a lot of people in my field are going to respond to my article today, you know, and just said, he's got to have that wrong, you know, but I don't have time to look into this, you know, but surely he's wrong. I mean, SCP is a very respected group, and, you know, they've been very careful about everything else they publish. Just as people today will say, yeah, but there's 70 scholars. Those are 70 respected scholars. They've been very careful about everything they've published, you know, and so this is how we perpetuate error, is we pass over obvious challenges to a position, documented, you know, challenges to a position that we ourselves have the means to look into and confirm or deny, but we just pass it by and continue to support, maybe out of a feeling of collegiality or brotherhood with other people in our field or under attack by this group because they're suing them. So, you know, let's not be confused with the facts. Let's keep this feeling of camaraderie going among people in our field, our besieged field of counter-cult ministry. Well, that's not a philosophy that could be described as truth matters. And so that's why I feel right now we're at a paradigm shift in the counter-cult community, where we have got to learn from this experience and not keep repeating these kinds of behaviors if we want this form of ministry to be viable, valid, and, you know, ongoing, vital in the body of Christ. But, you know, it still brings up the issue of lawsuits. And as you have said many times, Hank, it's not that we support the fact that the local church has sued on three different occasions over a three-decade period Christian groups. However, I believe that there are circumstances there that should at least evoke some sympathy with the local church's situation. And even more importantly, as we point our finger at them for suing fellow believers, there should be four fingers pointing back at ourselves for making false allegations against fellow believers. And the truth of the matter is, with regard to these lawsuits, they were never over theological differences. They were never over being called a cult theologically. They were over being charged with being involved in reprehensible, immoral behavior, and often illegal behavior, extreme illegal behavior, and abusive behavior. And in each case, they sought to meet with these people and reason with them and show them the evidence to support their position. And these people refused to meet with them. In fact, in the most recent case, it was Harvest House that initiated a lawsuit against the local churches, not the local churches who initiated the lawsuit against Harvest House for the book, The Encyclopedia of Cults and New Religions by John Ankerberg and John Weldon. And so, you know, the issue here is that demonstrably false allegations have been made against this group that are serious defamation of character. And whereas we in the counter-cult community have righteously responded against the infringement of our own constitutional freedom of expression and religion to be able to call a group a cult, I don't see any of us until right now on the Bible Answer Man program calling on ourselves to be responsible when we do research and make allegations of groups, and accountable if we are making false allegations that are injurious to them, that ruin their reputations, that in the case of the local churches, their kids were forced out of schools. People lost jobs. They suffered great humiliation. And that was just in America. In China, they were put in jail because, you know, China's opinion of sociological cults. Think Falun Gong. Think Tibetan Buddhism.
Eastern Lightning.
You know, they clamp down on anything that they perceive as causing social instability. So when we are it turned out there was just one witness for this SCP book, The God Man. It turned out to be a hostile ex-witness. They didn't cross-check it or verify it. They even, according to the court, published things that they knew were false. And the result of that is people suffer, and there's nobody in the counter-cult community calling. Well, SCP is too respected. You know, they've got too good a track record. They've published so much good literature. We've all learned from them. That's true. That's why I didn't pursue the matter. But that's not right.
Dr. Rodney Stark is a social scientist at Baylor University, a great author, actually said this to the court: if all that the defendants were to do was write a book, even though really nasty, to witness Lee's theology, we wouldn't be in court today because that's considered fair in our American society. You can do that. But the second you start naming names and events, discrediting events, sexual hanky-panky, financial hanky-panky, or indeed getting to a certain point of quoting a man's theological statements diametrically opposed to what the man is really saying, we're not talking about religion, we're talking about truth, we're talking about libel, we're talking about fairness, we're talking about a whole constellation of things. And this constellation of things includes, as you point out, Elliot, the charge of deceptive recruiting practices, preying upon the weak, vulnerable people in order to bring them under the plaintiff's total subjugation. And that simply was untrue, unfair, and as you point out, did harm that's hard to estimate. I mean, if you look at Christians in America, if you're labeled as being a cult member, you can suffer the humiliation that you talked about, Elliot. For Christians in Asia, it can result in persecution to an extent that we never have to worry about in America. And the local church's ability to carry on their mission in their home country is radically affected by whether the government considers them a socially disruptive cult, as you say, or a socially responsible religion. We've been talking about a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, a special edition of the Christian Research Institute's Bible Answer Man broadcast, and a special edition of the Christian Research Institute's Christian Research Journal. The magazine is available for the first time ever. You can download immediately this edition of the Christian Research Journal in a digital format, or you can order a printed copy for delivery in the United States and Canada through our e-store at equip.org. You can always order through the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000. CRI, as always, great to have Elliot Miller in studio. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe today and continue listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right here on your station. See you next time with more of the show.
We'd like to thank Elliot Miller for joining us on the Bible Answer Man these past 2 days. Be sure to tune in tomorrow as Hank discusses his critical work, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. The Christian Research Journal provides well-researched answers and illuminating illustrations with the help of award-winning authors and artists in each edition. This is just one more reason to call CRI and start your subscription. Just call 888-7000-CRI and tell the resource consultant that you'd like to receive or give the Christian Research Journal, or order online at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank. Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.